Our readings is taken from the author of the Gospel of John from the first verse up to the 19th verse of the 21st chapter. We are reading from the NRSV English Translation Updated Edition. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciple came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Listening to this reading and the preaching, may we receive God's blessings.
Thanks be to God.
So today is the third Sunday of Easter, and tayo ay nasa serya pa rin ng ating pag-aaral dun sa panahon ng pagkabuhay. So the gift of surprise, the joy of the unexpected. Noong nakaraang linggo, pinag-usapan natin yung second and third dun sa mga appearance stories sa Ebanghelyo ni Juan. Ang pagpapakita ni Jesus sa mga disipulo, gayon din yung encounter ni Thomas sa resurrected Jesus. So ngayon, tungkol naman sa last na appearance stories. Siguro mas mainam na tawagin natin ito na recognition stories. Dahil ito yung mga pagkakataon na nakikilala nila si Jesus. They started to recognize the resurrected Jesus, the divine. So, this is the second ending of the gospel. And this is an addition from the first part of John. So, scholars think that this is written by another writer. Kasi, iba yung language, yung style, yung vocabulary nitong John chapter 21. It is believed that this represents the Galilean tradition independent of the tradition of the Jerusalem appearances. Kung maaalala natin sa Matthew at Mark, yung mga stories represent the tradition of the Galilean appearances. Samantaling sa Luke at yung pinag-usapan natin nung nakaraang dalawang linggo, narrates only the Jerusalem appearances. So when I say appearances, ibig sabihin sa Matthew at sa Mark, sa Galilee, yung lugar, yung setting ng pagpapakita ng risen Christ. At sa Luke at dun sa John 20, sa Jerusalem naman. Dito sa 21, it's na naman to dun sa mga Galilean appearance stories. Sa Gospel ng John na ating pinag-aaralan itong mga nakaraang linggo, the first three appearance or recognition stories happened in Jerusalem. On this time, it is set in Galilee, on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, or another name for the Sea of Galilee. Alright, so let's dig into the text. 7 of the disciples were present dito sa ating kwento ngayong hapon na ito. Having labored through the night in vain, casting their nets without a single catch. By dawn, a figure appears on the shore, unrecognized by them, calling out and urging them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. They obeyed, and the net is suddenly teeming with fish, too many for them to haul aboard, and that small shift is so profound. From nothing to abundance. In that moment, the disciple whom Jesus loves declares, "It is the Lord." Moved by recognition and devotion, Peter, di lang dramatic, plunges into the sea, mahilig talaga siyang tumalun sa dagat, to reach Jesus ahead of the others. So the scene also calls for several past instances from the life of the disciples with Jesus. Ang eksenang ito ay nagpapaalala sa atin ng ilan sa mga naunang eksena at karanasan ng mga disipulo noong nagsisimula pa lamang si Jesus. In John chapter 1, one of the disciples of John, the prophet, the cousin of Jesus, the name of the disciple is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was so intrigued that Jesus invited him and another disciple. Sabi ni Jesus, "Come and see." Andrew found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated as the Anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, thus begins their journey with their teacher. In Matthew chapter 4, 18-22, this story was set in the Sea of Galilee, the same place where our story in John today was set. Andrew and Simon Peter were fishermen. The story in Matthew continued with Jesus saying to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." The brothers immediately left their nets and followed him. It is like the call of the sons of Zebedee, James and his brother John. They were mending their nets when he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. This scene of catching fish in the last chapter of John was a return to the beginning. They were being reminded of many things. First, to go back to how the Jesus movement began, that they were a small group of people who were in the peripheries of society. Fisher folks, peasants, tax collector, and there is even the rebel. Theirs is a dream to experience shalom, to be free from the shackles of the empire, for their pleas and hopes to be seen, heard, acted upon, and realized. Second, they were brought back to remember to press on and to continue what Jesus started. It was interesting that after the death of Jesus, they went back to fishing. Balik sila sa pangisda. For years, they followed their itinerant teacher and the Messiah they said that they had found. The one who told them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." They are to fish people. We grew up in a tradition that tells us that this is the call to mission of the disciples. What Jesus did in the text we read is to remind them not to be distracted by fear, to not divert their energies from things that really matter. Upon their arrival at the shore, they find a meal prepared. Bread and fish laid out by Jesus himself. Huwag na natin isipin kung paano niya nagawa yun. Basta meron na lang tinapay at ano. Which reminds us of the miracle that Jesus performed. The single miracle na written dun sa lahat ng Gospels. Where Jesus fed the crowds with bread and fish. After they have eaten, Jesus turns to Peter and begins a solemn exchange. 3 times, he asks Simon, son of John, "Do you love me?" And 3 times, Peter affirms his love. To each affirmation, Jesus gives a charge. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." Weeks ago, Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him. Again, dramatic Peter exclaimed, "That it cannot be." Siya, itatatwa ang Panginoon niyang si Jesus. And true enough, on the night that Jesus was arrested, thrice did Peter deny that he knew Jesus. The denials were closed by a rooster crowing. Medyo sympathetic ako kay Peter dito sa scene na binasa natin. Gets ko na he felt hurt dahil paulit-ulit yung tanong ni Jesus na, "Do you love me?" Parang di nagdududa siya sa akin kung talagang mahal ko siya. Kaya nga diba ang reply niya nung pang ilang beses na, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Siguro, nagets din naman ni Peter na yung thrice na pagtanong ay baka equivalent ng thrice niyang pag-deny. Pero I do not view this as a reminder of Peter's failure. It is a moment of redemption. This is the grace of the resurrection. We are offered not just forgiveness, but restoration. In John chapter 10, which we will further discuss next week, Jesus described himself as the Good Shepherd. We are his people, his sheep. Now, Jesus was telling Peter to feed and to tend his sheep. The one who failed is now the one commissioned. He was reminded to continue caring and leading the flock, to seek the lost, to protect them, to lay his life for them, just as how the Good Shepherd, Jesus, would do. And then Jesus speaks in veiled terms, foretelling Peter's fate, hinting that he too will suffer and die by crucifixion. At least that's how that verse has been interpreted. Stories from oral tradition tells us that Peter felt unworthy to die like Jesus, so pinabaliktad niya yung krus na pagpapakuan niya. He was crucified upside down, as tradition says, sa Vatican Hill. So, kaya nga yun, sa Pope, di ba, may symbol na baliktad na cross. Yun, so, extreme evangelicals, take note. As the dialogue closes, Jesus issues a final profound summons. "Follow me." Twice na sinabi ito ni Jesus. These are the last words he speaks in the Gospel of John. A call to discipleship unto death, and to walk the path that he himself has trod. Last week in our preaching, we have mentioned that the first words of Jesus to the disciples in John's Gospel are, "What are you looking for? This was in John chapter 1, verse 38. This is after two disciples of John, Andrew and another one, followed him after the prophet exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." We also discussed that in the middle of the gospel, in the heart of the gospel, when Thomas asked how they can know where Jesus was going, Jesus said, "I am the way." And now, at the end of the gospel, Jesus says, "Follow me." What are you looking for? I am the way. Follow me. At the heart of John's gospel is the idea of the way. And if you would recall, Jesus speaks directly about the need to be born again sa kanyang diskurso with a Roman official. And later, he uses the image of a seed, a grain of wheat that must fall into the ground and die to produce fruit. He even calls this the only way, a verse that yung John 14:6, yung nga, sabi natin, promoted an exclusive and triumphalistic view of Christianity. Sa evangelical theology kasi, dinideal yung death and resurrection ni Jesus bilang isang parang legal settlement ng debt. Binayaran ni Jesus ang kasalanan sa pamamagitan ng kamatayan, pero napagtagumpayan niya ito. Pero di lang naman tungkol doon ang ginawa ni Jesus. Alam natin na sampal ito sa imperyo, yung resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is more than that. Within the broader vision of John's gospel, rooted in the idea of God becoming flesh, the death and resurrection of Jesus shows us that the true nature of transformation, to be born again and to be reborn from a seed that falls into the earth and dies, to grow and bear much fruit, this is what the idea of John, the message of John, wanted to tell us. To say Jesus is the only way is not to shut others out, but to point to the pattern revealed in him. Dying to the old self and rising to new life. This, above all, is the journey of personal transformation. So to follow Jesus is to be transformed, to change our old ways, and to be more in line with the character of Jesus. Follow the teacher, his examples. Siyempre, hindi ito madali. Madali lang siya sabihin, pero... For Peter, it means leaving his impetuous ways to the point that he will even stretch his hands and lay down his life on a cross. To us, it is to die like a grain of wheat and be changed, to be reborn. And we are reminded of this here in the last chapter of the Gospel of John. We are reminded that instead of going back to what we were doing and who we are before meeting Jesus, we are reminded not to regress far back, but merely to go back and remember why we followed him in the first place. How following him transformed us. How we are born again, as many times over, throughout the journey around Galilee, into Jerusalem, towards the cross, and finally, out of the tomb. Now to us today, let us reflect. Where should we return to? Saan tayo babalik para alalahanin bakit tayo naririto ngayon? Where is our Sea of Galilee? Ano ba ang simulain natin bilang isang mananampalataya? Bilang isang simbahan ng mga taong tinakwil sa mga pinanggalingan nating faith traditions? Let us go back to our roots. Our beginnings with Jesus. Our beginnings with Jesus here in our church, Open Table MCC. What has God called us to do? It can be something not as grand as we imagined, as simple as being a good neighbor, offering our homes to others, lending our shoulders, extending our hands to help, selling drag bingos. Makinig sa announcement later. So selling drag bingo's ticket to extend love and service sa darating na panahon ng tag-ulan. To love one another to prove that we are his followers. It can be as straightforward, though challenging, as our triple mission to maintain safe and welcoming space for everyone to joyfully and prophetically proclaim the radically inclusive love of God, to participate in God's greater and wider work of justice and peace. Sabi ni Marcus Ward, when Christianity has contributed to racism, sexism, nationalism, exclusivism, and other harmful ideologies, what does it mean to be a Christian today? Sa libro niya na The Heart of Christianity, Rediscovering a Life of Faith, he said, Christianity is a way of life. That is its heart. Let me repeat. Christianity is a way of life. That is its heart. To be Christian means living the path within this tradition. At the heart of Christianity is the way of the heart, a path that transforms us at the deepest levels of our being. At the heart of Christianity is the heart of God, a passion for our transformation and the transformation of the world. At the heart of Christianity is participating in the passion of God. Minsan we tend to forget our whys, either when we are extremely comfortable or when we are extremely challenged. Oh, kahit when we feel things have become routine. But today we are reminded to go back to the days when Jesus invited us to come and see. We are called to remember to care for the people and the world as a sign and the way that we truly love God. We are challenged to take up our cross, to die to ourselves, and simply follow Jesus. And perhaps in doing so, Jesus meets us every step of the way.